Hello, and welcome to Tales from a Bibliophile, a podcast about all things reading and the communities that books create. I'm your host, Carly Galorn Stewart, and this week is another solo episode. So you get just me this week, guys. I am excited to be doing more solo shows and sort of figuring out the mechanics of talking to myself in an empty room. I'm very used to having someone else to talk to in these conversations, but I think I have, you know, there are some great topics that I think we can cover and I can chat about, and you can tell me what you think in our Instagram comments. You can also always shoot me an email at talesfromabibliophile@gmail.com. And you can comment on our Instagram posts. You can comment on our Substack. So you can find us on Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. And you can find us on Substack at talesfromabibliophile.substack.com. We post on there every week about the new episode on both Instagram and Substack. So those are great places to, and the email are great places to give us your feedback. Let us know what you're thinking. So this week, I wanted to talk about not just reading, but also the writing of books. So I have mentioned briefly here and there that I am writing a novel. So I've always sort of written memoir essays throughout high school and college and a little bit past that. And this past year, I decided that I wanted to finally sit down and write a novel. I'd had the idea sort of bouncing around in my head since last year. I can't remember when, but anyways, I decided earlier this year that I was ready to try and actually sit down and write it. And so being the person that I am, I turned to books. I went through several writing books, checked them out, put them on hold through the library, looked at them in bookstores to try to find the ones that I thought would be most helpful to me. And so I thought we could talk about that today. Several of these are memoir style, so even if you are not actively writing a book or interested in writing yourself, several of these books would be, I think, still interesting for you to read as just a reader or someone who's interested in how sort of behind the scenes, the mechanics of writing in a not super technical way. Some of them are more technical, some of them are not. So we will, I think, just dive right in. I'm not sure how many I have, but there are several that I've read multiple times. There are several that I use as reference. And then there are several that I've read once but thought they were super helpful and enjoyed the experience of reading. So they're kind of a little bit all over the board. I'm going to try to kind of explain them in or chat about them in like categories. So there are some that are more memoir style, some that are very technical. And that sort of thing. So let's start with some memoir style, kind of. Well, where I really want to start is the first book that I read on writing. I read it several years ago on writing. Before I started really writing, I was sort of casually writing, you know, memoir style essays. But I picked it up because I love this author. It's Anne Lamott's book called Bird by Bird. So this is her nonfiction memoir style. Well, it's a mix of memoir and reference, but it's called Bird by Bird, and it's very classic Anne Lamott. It is funny. It is heartwarming. It's filled with stories of her life. And what it looks like to be a writer full time. But it's so good. I read it years ago, and like I said, I wasn't really writing yet, but I loved reading through through her reading and seeing her perspective on writing. I was really encouraged to keep writing when I read this book. Its subtitle is Some Instructions on Writing and Life. So it's sort of divided into essay style, but it's divided into a couple parts. I think it's divided into five parts. So the first part is writing, and so it's got things like getting started. It's got a few short assignments to kind of get you in the mindset of writing, and then it has one of my favorite essays I've ever read and my favorite pieces of advice on writing at all. It's the chapter called Shitty First Drafts, and it's sort of, I think a lot of us have heard this sort of general idea, but she really like emphasizes that like everyone who writes a book writes a shitty first draft. And so there's no one sits down and writes a first draft that is ready for publication. And so that's been one of the biggest hangups that I've experienced, is trying to figure out the balance of writing in a way that gets it all out of my head when I have the ideas and the momentum without going back and sort of editing as I go. It's very hard for me to not edit as I go. And I think that's because I've worked as an editor, and I was a tutor, and I'm used to editing. That's kind of my default. I've edited far more than I've written. And so it's hard to turn that part of my brain off, but I wanted to read a little bit of this chapter to kind of give you an idea. But so she says, almost all good writing begins with terrible first efforts. You need to start somewhere. Start by getting something, anything, down on the paper. A friend of mine says that the first draft is the down draft. You just get it down. The second draft is the up draft. You fix it up. You try to say what you have to say more accurately, and the third draft is the dental draft, where you check every tooth to see if it's loose or cramped or decayed or even, God help us, healthy. What I've learned to do when I sit down to work on a shitty first draft is to quiet the voices in my head. And she goes on to sort of explain each of the voices in her head, which is very cute and funny. But she says, quieting these voices is at least half the battle I fight daily, but this is better than it used to be. It used to be 87%. Left to its own devices, my mind spends much of its own time having conversations with people that aren't there. And, you know, she continues on, but that was just so refreshing. It was so refreshing and so encouraging because I have always loved Anna Lamott's books and have always thought she was an incredible writer. And so to hear, that's kind of one of the reasons I like reading books like this by other writers. You get to kind of see behind the scenes and know and hear firsthand from them that, like, even though they're best-selling authors, they had no idea what they were doing. or maybe still don't have any idea what they're doing, and they just sort of figured out their own process. But so the rest of this book, she goes through, the first part is on writing, sort of more memoir style. And then the second part is the writing frame of mind. And it is sort of exactly what it sounds like, sort of helping you get into the mindset of a writer versus just someone who occasionally writes. And then the third part is help along the way, and it's got topics like writer's block, someone to read your drafts, writing cards. Index cards is a great method if you're writing. You can read about that in this book and actually several books. And then the last couple of sections are on publications and finding your voice and sort of wrapping everything up. But so that's Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. And I cannot recommend it enough. In fact, if I was going to recommend only one book on this list, it would probably be that one. The second one I have that is kind of a memoir style, it is an actual memoir. It is called On Writing, A Memoir of the Craft, and it is by Stephen King. It is part memoir, part craft, like instructional craft. So the first half is a memoir of his life and how he became a writer and what his writing life is like. And then the second part is writing advice. So the second, he calls it a toolbox. So the second part of the book is a toolbox. And he pulls from examples of his own life, but talks about more technical aspects of it. And I really like it. I really, really think this book is a great book for anyone who is interested in writing. I had only read maybe one Stephen King book before I read this one. So you don't have to be like a fan of Stephen King. You don't have to know anything about him. You can know that he is a multi-time best-selling author and is probably incredibly well off from his millions and millions of books that he's written. And so he's obviously doing something right. So he seems like a great person to take advice from. Let me see if I can find how many books he has. No, I'm not going to figure that out without counting a lot. But anyways, so in his book, he talks about a writer named Mary Carr, M-A-R-Y. Well, you know how to spell Mary. What I meant to say was K-A-R-R, Mary Carr. She has a couple of memoir, like straight memoirs that she's written about her life, but she also has a book called The Art of Memoir. So if you are interested in writing memoir, and I think this book is helpful even if you're writing fiction, but I love writing memoir essays. But Mary Carr is a mentor to a ton of authors, including Cheryl Strayed, who wrote Wild. But this is The Art of Memoir. I would absolutely put in the same category as Stephen King's On Writing or Bird by Bird. She talks about key elements of a memoir, but she also talks a lot about memory and identity and how you can still write without having the entirety of your memory, which is important for me. Because I have a really, really terrible memory. I have since I was a kid. There's a lot of my childhood that I don't remember. I sort of blocked out a lot of it, I think. But either way, this was a great, great book. The next one I have to recommend, I've actually talked about on this podcast before. It was one of my currently readings, but it's called Bodywork: The Radical Power of Personal Narrative by Melissa Phoebos, F-E-B-O-S. And it's another sort of memoir meets craft. A lot of the books are like that. But she has written a couple of memoirs, and she is a teacher or professor of writing. And so she, in this book, she talks a lot about her own path as a writer and what it looked like and how to translate your own experiences into your writing and that sort of thing. And she talks a lot about emotional writing and how to write in ways that often culture and society tells you not to write. But it's really bold and really honest. It's very raw, so to speak. She's really good about that. But sort of part of the blurb is, how might we go about capturing on the page the relationships that have formed us? How do we write about our bodies, their desires, and traumas? What does it mean for an author's way of writing or living to be dismissed as navel-gazing or else hailed as so brave, so raw? And to whom, in the end, do our most intimate stories belong? So this one is specifically, if you're writing personal narrative, I think it's great for memoir, nonfiction essay writers, but I think it's also incredibly helpful for people writing fiction who pull from their own life or who want to write very in-depth, realistic characters. And so that's Bodywork, The Radical Power of Personal Narrative by Melissa Phoebos. I just sort of stumbled on that one day at, I think, Barnes & Noble's. And it is probably right up there with Bird by Bird. It's one of my favorite writing books. Okay, so then I want to share a couple of more technical writing books. So we have, there are several that are like exercise books. They have several different exercises and sort of things to help you get out of your head and practice writing. So one of my favorite writing teachers is Natalie Goldberg. She wrote Writing Down the Bones is her like most famous one, but I think that subtitle is Freeing the Writer Within. But she talks about how writing is a practice. It is not a job or a hobby, it's a practice. And so she talks a lot about handwriting and doing something that's very popular in the writing community is this sort of idea of free writing, timed exercises. So one of the books I was going to talk about is The Artist's Way, A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity by Julia Cameron. It is not specific to writers or writing, but a lot of writers use this book and this sort of program to become better writers, so to speak. In The Artist's Way, one of the things that she has you do is start every morning with free writing. She calls them morning pages, if you've ever heard that term thrown around. But the sort of idea that you take a pen to paper versus a computer, you take a pen to paper, like, so Julia Cameron does it, pushes for the morning when you haven't had anything to interrupt your thoughts and you just sort of sit down and spill your brain. But Natalie Goldberg talks a lot about, one of my favorite things about her is her books are, she always opens them with sort of a message about finding the exact pen and the exact notebook that you want that will help you, but not putting too much time into figuring these things out. She is very specific about, like, don't take 5 hours and all your money to figure these things out, but to find a pen that writes fast, because your thoughts come fast, often faster than you can write. And then she talks about these 10-minute writing exercises, or timed writing exercises. And she, in Writing Down the Bones, she has a sort of a list of suggested titles, but her book, Old Friend from Far Away, is actually one that I use constantly. It's The Practice of Writing Memoir is its subtitle, but again, I think this one is super helpful even if you're not writing memoir, if you're writing more fiction. But it is a book of, like, practice exercises, but like she gives you a topic and then is like, write for this on 10 minutes, and usually it's like maybe a paragraph or two a page, but it's a very simple book of exercises. And so when I get stuck, if I'm having a day where I cannot write, cannot get what I want out of my head and onto the page for my novel, I still try to write. I try to write every day. I've been not great about that lately, but if I can't get in, if I'm not in a headspace where I can write my novel or write another piece I'm working on, I pull out Old Friend from Far Away and I pick a subject or I pick one of the topics and I free write for 10 minutes or a certain amount of pages. You can kind of decide how you want to do it. I did this yesterday and for the first time in a while, and like 10 minutes felt way shorter than it actually is. I was kind of worried. I'm always worried I'm not going to have enough to say in 10 minutes, which is wild because I've literally spent 3 hours on a talking on a podcast episode before. Talking is not something that I have trouble with. And so writing, free writing like this, where I'm just putting my thoughts on paper, is also not a problem. It's always a little daunting, but once you get started, and that's actually kind of one of the reasons I love this book and this type of exercise. If you are daunted, if sitting down to write a novel, the idea of sitting down to write a book or write an essay or write a specific piece of work that you want to share with someone or publish in any capacity, even if it's like as simple as a blog post, if you find that daunting, Old Friend from Far Away and other books like that is incredibly helpful. It, again, like she talks about in Writing Down to the Bones, the practice of writing, writing every day really makes a huge difference. It sort of helps it, for me at least, it makes me feel more like a writer, but it also is like that, it's like training your brain that when you sit down with a computer, you sit down with a pen and paper, you are writing. It's sort of that muscle memory, I guess. So Old Friend from Far Away, The Practice of Writing Memoir by Natalie Goldberg, is incredible. Really anything Natalie Goldberg has written or published is incredible. Highly recommend anything by her. Okay, and then one other book that is sort of exercises like that. I actually just got this one recently. It's called Write Yourself Out of a Corner, 100 Exercises to Unlock Creativity by Alicia LaPlante, LaPlante. So it's blurbed as 100 imagination stretching writing exercises inspired by the idea of creative constraints. It's really fun. It's a mix of different exercises. Some of them are like constraint-based prompts. They talk a lot about constraints, creative constraints. There's exercises like you must use the word cloud in your writing, or you must set the scene in a crowded grocery store. So it sort of helps you get out of your typical mindset and into something, it gives you enough specifics that you kind of have an idea, but it also, or it gives you sort of a starting point, jumping off point, but it allows you a ton of creative space. And so, like, you know, writing, set the scene in a grocery store, crowded grocery store, you could just make something up for that writing exercise. Or sometimes what I do is take, if I get stuck on my novel, I'll pull this book out and sort of flip through and find something. And so I could write a scene with my characters where they're in a crowded grocery store. And it may not be something that I end up using in the final draft, or even the first draft, but it allows me to get to know those characters better, and it gives me more practice as a writer. This is a great book for whatever type of writing that you do, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you know, again, most of these books are crossover, even if they are, you know, like Old Friend from Far Away says specifically for memoir writers, but a lot of this stuff is very helpful across the board. Okay, so there are three last books I want to talk about, and these are more technique writing books for specific topics. So one of them is Steering the Craft, A 21st Century Guide to Sailing the Sea of Story by Ursula K. Le Guin. Ursula K. Le Guin is a prolific author of fiction and nonfiction. She's written, so much. But most people know her for her fiction writing. She writes science fiction. She wrote The Left Hand of Darkness. And I'm trying to remember. It's a short story, but I had to read it in college, and it was very startling and very thought-provoking. It's called The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas. And then she wrote The Earth-Sea Cycles, which is a Wizard of Earth-Sea is the first one, but it's a science fiction series. Anyways, she wrote Steering the Craft, and she wrote it after she's been a writing teacher forever, or had been a writing teacher forever, and she was experiencing, she was having all these students who were incredible storytellers and had these great imaginations and had been writing for a while, but they needed more, they needed more guidance on the craft of writing. Let me see if I have it pulled up. I thought I had it pulled up, to kind of give you more of a idea of what exactly it is, but it's a lot of like grammar and showing versus telling and that sort of thing. But so she sort of put together this workshop for students who had been writing, who were experienced writers, but needed more of the grammatical stylistic stuff. So it's like punctuation and grammar, sentence length and syntax, adjectives and adverbs, point of view and voice. That sort of more specific technique writing stuff, craft writing stuff. It is incredibly helpful. This is probably the second book I would recommend about writing. If you are only picking two out of this entire episode, I would say Bird by Bird and Steering the Craft. So that's a super helpful sort of reference style one. Okay. So then the next one is called Save the Cat, Writes a Novel by Jessica Brody. Jessica Brody originally published a book called, it was just called Save the Cat. And she's written an absurd amount of novels. But Save the Cat was originally a book on screenwriting. And so she did that one, and then, I'm sorry, she didn't write that one. Blake Snyder wrote Save the Cat, the last book on screenwriting you'll ever need. And then Jessica Brody took that concept and wrote Save the Cat, Writes a Novel. And so it took sort of the principles and ideas of the original Save the Cat and applied it to novel writing. Jessica Brody is a prolific author and writing teacher, even if you've never heard of her. If you look at her list of publications, it's wild. But this is what they call a workshop style guide. And so it breaks down plot in a step-by-step way, so that you... This is great for new writers or for writers who are overwhelmed with their process. It's a lot of mechanics and fundamentals of writing. But it's stuff like outlining a new novel. You can use it for stuff like outlining a new novel, revising an existing one, fixing a novel that you consider broken, or fleshing out a new idea to see if you can kind of give it a full novel. But they use something called beats. And so it's like they have, the book provides you with 20 full beat sheets is what they call them. And so I'm going to pull one up real quick and share a little bit more about that if my iPad will cooperate. I don't know what's happening with this, but I have a physical copy of this book, but I left it at home. There we go. Okay. So we got it pulled up. Let's look at these beat sheets. Are there? Yes. So it's things like, or the original Save the Cat beat sheet, is sort of, oh, this is great content, you guys. Sorry. Okay. So it's like the first 1% of your book is an opening image. The next five is where you make the statement about by character that hints at what your hero's arc is going to be. And then there's setup and catalyst and act two. There's a midpoint. Act three, there's the finale. And so it's very much similar to a screenplay setup, but adjusted for novel writing, which is what I kind of already explained. Like I was saying, guys, you're just along for the journey of me learning how to solo podcast without anyone to talk about. Okay, so that there's a classic Save the Beat cat sheet. There's a detective's like murder mystery beat sheet, rites of passage, superhero, buddy love, which is like a friendship story, like a horror one. So it takes like sort of the genre of your story, and then you sort of find their beat sheet, and it walks you through the most important parts of those types of stories. So for like the whodunit or the why done it is what they call it, detectives, deception, and the dark side, there are it talks about like the key ingredients for a detective for a whodunit, and so it helps you walk through that. So trying to find the beat sheet for that. The other thing I like about this book is that it takes stories that are already written and breaks down their beats. So like it has for the whodunit, it has the girl on the train. It takes the girl on the train and it breaks down that story into its beat sheet. And so the first 1 to 2 pages is the opening image. The theme is stated on the first page. The setup is pages 2 to 38, and here's a bullet point list of it. And so you can have very specific examples that sort of help you get your book in a give your book a structure. So writing is interesting because some people need structure and some people do not want structure. I am a weird mix of both. And so if you are someone who is deeply overwhelmed, you have an idea but you don't know where to start, I highly recommend Save the Cat Writes a Novel, especially if you are writing in a very common genre like a murder mystery or a hero's journey story or a coming of age story, a horror story. This book will be super helpful for that. If you are writing a romance, there is a separate book that is called Romancing the Beat Story Structure for Romance Novels by Gwen Hayes. And it takes the structure of Save the Cat and specifies the beats for romance novels. There are very specific things that happen in romance novels, and romance is not covered as one of the genres in the Save a Cat novel, or Save a Cat Writes the Novel. And so Gwen Hayes is a romance writer and a romance editor, and she wrote this book to sort of fill that hole. The blurb is what makes romance novels a romance? How do you write a kissing book? And so romance arc is made up of very specific plot points. I thought it would be a lot easier. I'm writing a romance novel. And so I was like, oh, I've read a million of these. This will be super easy. It is not. Writing in general is not easy. But they say, the author, Gwen Hayes, says romancing the beat is a recipe, not a rigid system. So that's one of the things I really like about this book, is if you are someone who outlines as you write, or if you, what they call pants your way through the draft. So there's a plot, you're a plotter or a pantser. If you're a plotter, then you typically outline before you write. If you're a pantser, you just sit down and see what happens. But this gives you sort of she calls it a beat check. And so it gives you certain points that you need to hit to make it a romance novel. And so I also have this. Let me pull it up real quick. This one is incredibly helpful. I don't necessarily stick to all of the beats, but I found it really helpful. Anyways, it sort of gave me, like, there were parts of a romance novel that, like, I didn't think about, I didn't like understand. So, like, you know, the very beginning, it's she breaks down into phases. So it's like phase one is the setup. You introduce your characters, and they have a meet cute, and then they have what she calls a no way, which is like, there's some specific reason why I absolutely will not like this person. I absolutely will not go on this date. I absolutely will not fall in love. And then phase two is they fall in love. And so your phase three is retreating from love, which I had never really thought about. So there, to give romance novels some sort of tension, if you're not doing like a romance thriller, and you don't have some specific plot point, you have to add tension in there somehow. And so phase three for romancing the beats is retreating from love. And so you can have them break up, or you can have them like think about breaking up, sort of realizing that she calls it an inkling of doubt, and then a deepening of a doubt, and then retreat is what the chapter is called. And so if you've ever read a romance novel, a lot of people talk about the third act breakup in a romance novel or a romance movie. And a lot of people don't like that, but it creates tension. And so it is common and often necessary. But that's kind of what she's talking about here in the retreating from love. And then phase four is they're fighting for their love. So they're like sort of, something happens and they like realize, she calls it wake up and smell the coffee. And then a lot of times there's stuff like the grand gesture, or like, you know, the big thing that brings them back together. And so this was like incredibly helpful, even though I'm not sticking to it. But she also has a sample beat sheet at the end, is what they call it. So if you, like I said earlier, if you want to write a book and you have no idea how to structure it, you don't know how to get started, if you know you want to write a romance, I highly recommend Romancing the Beat. You can get it on Kindle for $5.99. I think right now, I think I probably paid like $1.99. Like, it goes on sale all the time. I think you can get paperback copies too, but it's always on sale on Kindle. If you are not writing a romance novel, you're just writing a thriller, mystery, literary fiction, whatever. Save the Cat Writes a Novel would be a great place to start. Those are the books that I have, and I would just like to say I find this very helpful, but if you are someone who gets overwhelmed I find looking at multiple books very helpful. If you are someone who gets overwhelmed by multiple sort of voices or instructions or advice, I would recommend Save the Cat Writes a Novel or Romancing the Beat or both. I would recommend Bird by Bird, and I would recommend the Ursula Le Guin Steering the Craft. I think those three and four are a good place to sort of build your foundation and not get overwhelmed. It gives you enough advice and enough encouragement, but it does not give you an overload of information or opinions. And so I will say, too, one of the really cool things about Romancing the Beat and possibly Save the Cat, I've never looked into it for Save the Cat. I bet there is one. But so I write in a program called Scrivener. It's like a $60 one-time fee. And it is like, it's similar to Word, but it is set up specifically for writing. And so it, like I'm writing a novel, and so it lets me break down, like, here is the first chapter and here are the parts of that chapter, and it lets you see the outline on the side, and it lets you build, like, it has places for you to put information about your characters and about the places. And then when you're done with your draft, it like formats it into a book basically so you can print it. But a lot of people use Scrivener. You can get quick tutorials on YouTube or TikTok like I did. I was really intimidated by Scrivener for a very long time, and then I did NaNoWriMo, and if you did Camp NaNoWriMo, that's National Novel Writing Month, which is in November typically, but they do two or three camps throughout the year, so I know they're about to actually start one in July. If you are thinking about writing and are interested in having some sort of like structure or not structure, accountability, if you are looking to have some sort of accountability, there's also a ton of great resources on their website. Their website is I think NaNoWriMo. Yes, it's NaNo, NaNo, Rimo, WRIMO.org. If you Google National Novel Writing Month or NaNoWriMo, it will come up. But there is a ton of there's a whole tab called Writers Resources. It is like there are challenges, and then they have a tab called Nano Prep, which is like info on getting ready to write a novel. There's a tab called Now What, which is on editing and publishing, and it's got support for that there. And then there is a resource hub, which has got pep talks and like information from writers, like published writers. You can kind of go through different topics like revision, publishing, finishing your novel, word building, memoir, that sort of thing, and get specific resources. And then there's a lovely page called called offers, discount on writer's tools. There we go. That's what I was trying to figure out. There is a currently, and this may change depending on when you listen to this episode, there's currently a 20% off, code for Scrivener. If you participate in, Camp NaNoWriMo. So if you participate in, this is how I got Scrivener. If you participate in Camp NaNoWriMo, which starts in July, let me make sure I am pretty sure it's July. Yes, July 2023. If you participate in Camp NaNoWriMo, you get a 20% off Scrivener coupon code. If you finish, you get a 50% off coupon code, and that is how I got Scrivener. So I got it for $30. Again, it's a one-time fee. There are also several other great websites and resources listed here. I tried out a few of them, but I ended up sticking with Scrivener. And that's Scrivener. If you just Google that, it'll come up. I think the website is literatureandlatte.com. And you can find Scrivener. You can watch tutorials. You can download a free trial, which is great too. Anyways, the whole point of this is that there is a Scrivener template you can download for Romancing the Beat, that has all of your plot points, in all of the beats that you are supposed to be following set up for you. So in the manuscript tab, it shows the romance beats and it has intro hero one, and it tells you the objective for intros for hero one and hero two is to introduce the protagonist in a way that makes the character compelling, show your character's slice of life but throw a hitch in it, give or introduce your character's external goal, and introduce or hint at what your character needs. And so you have a little bit of more of like context and background if you've read the book, but it's just a template that you can download, and you can download from the author Gwen Hayes. You can download it from her website, and it is incredibly helpful. I am not following it. Like, I'm not using the actual template, but I am pulling pieces from it. And that is the thing I love about most of these books. You do not have to pull from them fully. You don't have to like sit down with On Writing by Stephen King and then write only based on his advice. There are bits and pieces of just incredible writing advice in each of these books, and I have started building a writing library, so to speak. A lot of it's in storage right now, but I've sort of collected these books from used bookstores or library book sales, that sort of thing. Every now and then I'll buy a new one. But having them like on hand so I can go back and reference them when I get overwhelmed or when I get when I'm unsure of the direction something should go or the technical craft like rule or whatever, like if it's punctuation or something. Like I have a minor in English. I took enough English classes to have a full major in it. I was an editor for our Lit magazine, and I was a tutor for writing, and I can't remember. I've been out. I also have a master's degree in library and information sciences that I just finished last year, but I have been out of undergrad. I graduated with my undergrad degree in 2016, so it has been a hot few minutes. And so I have not written fiction since then, or edited fiction since then, and I don't know how quotation marks work anymore. Like I know that your punctuation goes inside your quotation marks, but like I'm trying to write and I'm just like, do I start? I feel like at some point someone told me I start a new paragraph for every new thing that someone says, and you know, it's a whole thing. So just try not to get overwhelmed, and remember, as Anne Lamott says, everybody has a shitty first draft, and that's a thing that I'm gonna have written on a post-it note, washi taped to my laptop, because it is very hard to remember. One of my other favorite pieces of advice, which did not come from, well, it may have come from a writer. I don't actually know where it came from anymore, but it was, I had a post-it note with this written on it, and it was taped to my desk when I was in grad school. It was, you don't have to do it justice, you just have to do it. And that was incredibly encouraging for me as someone who often got stuck. I have ADHD and I would often get distracted or overwhelmed. And so the idea that I don't have to do it justice, I just have to get it done was great. And that's sort of the mentality that I use to approach my writing. Anyways, this was fun. I've had several writing books that I thought would be fun to talk about for a while. I would really love to hear if you are writing a book and if you found any of these books helpful and if you have other suggestions. I am always looking for a great book on writing, craft, or memoir style. I'm a sucker for it. So feel free to hop in our Instagram comments or on our newsletter comments or shoot me an email. Thank you so much for listening to this week, even though it's just little old me. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. We have a little link tree in our little about me section on Instagram that has links to every other thing I've talked about or have forgotten to talk about. But that's Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. And you can check out our newsletter on talesfromabibliophile.substack.com. You can sign up for that as an email newsletter and get the post sent straight to your email, or you can just go to the link and read them. You don't have to sign up as an email subscriber. I would really love if you would rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. I've listened to 47 million podcasts over the past however many years podcasts have existed. And every time I hear that, I immediately forget. I think I've maybe left one review in my entire life. So please don't feel bad if you forget. But if you have the time and you remember, I would love if you would. I don't know if you can rate and review on places like Spotify, but if you can, do it there too, wherever you listen. And then I would also love if you would share this podcast with your friend. If you have a friend who loves reading or books or writing or anything in the realm of this podcast, I would love if you would share it with them. And when you are listening, when you pull up the show on your podcast app, if you would follow/download/subscribe, whatever your podcast app has you do, that would be great too. I'm rambling at this point, but thank you so much for listening this week. Hopefully soon we will have some episodes with my husband. He has been reading through the Harry Potter series for the first time. We watched the movies together a lot when we were dating, and I grew up with the Harry Potter series and I've read them like 5 times. I know J.K. Rowling is a tiny bit problematic, but the stories itself were something I grew up on, and we've loved sharing the movies, and so we thought it would be fun to do a little book to screen series with those. So he's going to read the book and then we'll watch the movie together and we'll chat about the differences and what we loved and what we probably hated, because it's my podcast and I like to rant about things. So we will see you next week. I am not sure what we're doing next week, but we'll find out. This podcast is very sort of fly by the seat of your pants at the moment. So if you're still listening, I greatly appreciate it. And I hope you are enjoying it and not just suffering through. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.